I'd just like to read four short passages of scripture, the first being in the first book of Timothy and chapter 1, and it's on page 1434. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Faithful is the word and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. Luke's Gospel, in chapter 18, that's on page 1252, Luke 18, and verse 9. And he, that is Jesus, spoke also to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and made nothing of all the rest of men this parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee standing prayed thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, rapacious, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax gatherer. I fast twice in the week, I tithe everything I gain. And the tax gatherer, standing afar off, would not lift up even his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, O God, have compassion on me, the sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than that other. For every one who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And then in Peter's first epistle, the first epistle to Peter, in chapter 2, that's on page 1471, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. For Christ also has suffered for you, leaving you a model that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when reviled, reviled not again, when suffering threatened not, but gave himself over into the hands of him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, in order that being dead to sins, we may live to righteousness, by whose stripes ye have been healed. For you were going astray as sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And finally, in the epistle to the Romans, in chapter 15, that's on page 1366, and one verse there, verse 13, Romans 15, verse 13, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you should abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have heard of Thomas Bilney, who was one of the founding fathers of the Reformation. He was a man who was concerned as to where he stood with God. How can I be right with God? He was concerned about his sins. He was worried about them. And I would say to anybody here tonight who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, I trust that you're worried about your sins too. Now, this man was brought up in the church of that day, and he followed the instructions of priests and paid a lot of money in indulgences, trying to find peace, find forgiveness for his sins. And however much he spent and however much he tried, he found no peace. And against the advice of the priest, he purchased for himself a New Testament Bible in the original Greek language. He was a clever man, understood languages, and he started to read the scriptures, and he alighted upon this scripture in 1 Timothy. Faithful is the word and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. He said, if the Apostle Paul could know for certainty what it was to be saved, I can be saved. And tonight, dear friend, that's the wonderful news in the gospel, is that you too can be saved. Saved from your sins. Think of the Apostle Paul. Calls himself the chief of sinners. He spoke of himself that way. There's a story, isn't there? Many years ago, there was a tract called The Chief of Sinners. It was handed out to a man in the street. And he took umbrage because someone had given this tract called The Chief of Sinners. And came back, he said, "What do you mean by giving me this?" He said, "Well, Paul said he was the chief of sinners. I come next, but there's plenty of room for you after me." And that's the truth, dear friend. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, not even one. Scripture speaks about our righteousness that are as filthy rags in the sight of a holy and righteous God. It's not the preacher you have to answer to tonight. It's to God that you have to answer. You know, would that there were more concern in the hearts of people today that they would have to face a holy and righteous God. But I trust that everyone in this room is concerned as to where they stand before God tonight. To realise that what the God, blessed God, has expended, that you might find forgiveness, that you might find peace, that you might come to the Saviour. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, that should really affect our hearts. The greatness of who this blessed person was, the Son of God. God expending everything, giving his only Son, that there might be hope for believers, hope for sinners. Oh, it's something we have to come to acknowledge where we stand before God. It doesn't matter where you stand before men. That's what we have in the second scripture, isn't it? In Luke's gospel, the Pharisee and the tax gatherer. The Pharisee didn't consider himself very bad. And there's many people tonight who might line themselves up against other people and say, "Well, I'm not as bad as that person. I don't do the things that he does. I wouldn't think of doing all the awful deeds and sins that he commits." But that's not the point, because it's not how you stand in the sight of men. It's how you stand before God. And one day, if you don't repent of your sins, if you don't come to a knowledge of Christ as your Saviour, you will have to answer for your sins. Speaks of if we die in our sins, we'll be raised in our sins. What a serious thing that is. And yet there's no need for anybody in this hall or even in the world tonight to die in their sins because of the great provision that God has made in the giving of his Son. Think of how God has moved from his own heart and from his own side that you might have, as we had in our final scripture, you might have peace and joy in believing. And that's what God wants to bring you, give you peace. As I said, Thomas Bilney, he couldn't find peace. And people will go to extraordinary lengths to try and justify themselves, to find a way of peace without coming the divinely appointed way, without coming God's way. You know, it's an affront to God if you try to find another way of salvation, because he's given everything that you might be forgiven of your sins. And so we speak, so I speak in the second scripture, in Luke's gospel there. This one, the two men, the Lord tells a parable. The Lord Jesus here telling this story. And I think we could probably put ourselves in either of these two characters, couldn't we? We could either think of ourselves as like the Pharisee, or are we going to take our place as a tax gatherer? The two of the men went up to the temple to pray. And there's things that have been noted about this, that the Pharisee prayed to himself. Have you ever prayed to yourself? A bit humbling, isn't it? Speaking to ourselves about ourselves, not speaking to God. "God, I thank thee I'm not as other men." How many times have you said that? "I'm glad I'm not like that person." But what are you, my friend, in the sight of a holy and righteous God? This tax gatherer, he had a real assessment of what he was. Of course, society at that day would have made them feel their rejection. Tax gatherers were not popular people. They're still not popular people, of course, but they weren't popular people then. Tax gatherers and sinners, that's how the scripture speaks of them. And yet the Lord drew near to these people. Luke 15, all the tax gatherers and sinners were surrounding Jesus. And he had that wonderful parable to tell them. And here we have the Lord telling this parable about these two people that came to pray. And the tax gatherer, he says, "Have compassion on me, the sinner." And I would trust that everyone can take these words upon their lips tonight. The sinner. Don't worry about anybody else. You can be selfish when it comes to the gospel, you know, to seek out your own salvation. It's good to seek the salvation of others. Of course it is. But see to yourself first. Enter. Strive earnestly to enter through the narrow door. The road that leads to life. There are many on a wide and broad road today, on a road that leads to destruction. Which road are you on, my friend? Which road are we on? Are we on the? Have we entered in through the narrow gate? Have we come the divinely appointed way, through the Lord, through the saving grace of our Lord Jesus? Think of this man, this tax gatherer. Realize what he was. These sinners. It's almost as if it didn't matter if Nobody else in the world was a sinner. He was the sinner, and he needed a saviour. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, but this man takes the place of the sinner. Will you take that tonight? Realise where you stand before God, that you are a sinner and that you need a saviour. That's what I've read of Peter, you know. It says, that wonderful scripture, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Think of that beautiful words. Himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Think of what it cost Jesus to set you free from your sins. It meant that he had to be crucified. Some of us are reading this afternoon of the Jesus on his way up to Jerusalem. He knew what lay before him when he went on that road, when the crowds were adoringly calling out, Hosanna, blessed he that comes in the name of the Lord. As Jesus went up to Jerusalem, he knew what lay ahead of him at the end of that week, when he was going to be taken, where he was going to be crucified and hung on that cross. Yes, you say it was the hatred of men, the hatred of the Jews against the one who was supposed to be their Messiah. It was a hatred of the Roman soldiers who crucified him. But again, it was a divinely appointed way, that this was the way that Jesus would have to go. Were there to be a basis laid where God could righteously forgive the sinner and forgive you and me, dear friend? I want you to think of the love of God that lies behind such wonderful movements of grace, that he should give so much that you might be forgiven. You say, I don't deserve it. Nobody deserves it. I'm sure the Apostle Paul realized that he didn't deserve to be saved when he speaks to himself as a chief of sinners. Think of what he had done. He said he persecuted the assembly of God. He killed. He set his vote to Christians being stoned and to be murdered. He was one who was there when Stephen was being stoned. He was a man who really felt his sinnership and his guilt before a holy God. And yet on that Damascus road one day, the Lord struck him down and he spoke to him. Has God spoken to you? I trust tonight that in the gospel you feel God speaking to you where you are in your seat. What a moment this is, you know. This is a few minutes, 20 minutes to half an hour of your life which could change you forever and could change your eternal destiny. How important these preachings are. Seize the moment, my friend. We do not know how long we have left in our lives here. Things change so rapidly. Things happen to people's lives. And our life can be taken away and be snuffed out in moments. How crucial, how critical the gospel is for us to see to our soul's needs. You might be very diligent to seeing about your financial future, sorting out your pension, sorting out all other sorts of things. But dear friend, what about the eternal destiny of your soul, your never dying soul? We were reminded in the gospel last week of our bodies are just a shell. We have a soul that goes through, and it has to spend eternity somewhere. Where will you spend eternity? This great question that comes up in the gospel week by week. Eternity can be spent with Jesus, and there's nothing more blessed than spending your eternity in heaven with Jesus. And it's been offered to you, it's available to you in the gospel tonight. But think of what Peter says, bore our sins in his body on the tree. What did that cost the Lord Jesus? It cost him his life. It cost him too. He had to shed his precious blood. Peter says, have been redeemed, not by corruptible things, but by like silver and gold, but by precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish. Yes, the perfection of Jesus is something that a gospel preacher needs to bring before us, doesn't he? How perfect Jesus was in every way, without sin, sin apart, a holy and righteous man. You think of the scriptures, the gospels, how they speak of the pathway of Jesus. We're reminded today of went about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. How many people today are oppressed of the devil? The grace, the saving grace of Jesus is available today as it was then. But when Jesus was here, he moved amongst men in this wonderful way. And Peter then speaks of himself, those who have been witnesses of what he had done and how he brought in healing and blessing and how he had hung on that cross and how he had suffered and died. What a death it was, the death of Jesus, a unique death in every way. Jesus is a unique person in every way too, but his death was unique because it was the only death of a sinless and righteous and holy man, and a man who, when he had died, his blood was shed. Think of that moment when Jesus said the work was finished. Think of his atoning sufferings when God closed that scene, you know, in darkness and poured out his judgment upon the head of Jesus. Only Jesus knew what sin meant to a holy and righteous God. He knew the cost. He knew what he had to suffer for. Think of him on that cross. He could cry, it is finished. What wonderful words the finished and completed work. He had drained God's judgment against sin. And your sins can be forgiven tonight by simply accepting that work and that precious blood for yourself. The blood of Jesus Christ, it says, cleanses from all, that is every sin. What a wonderful, complete and holy sacrifice it was. And think of then Jesus being taken down from that cross. Think of him being buried and think of him rising again the third day. How vital and important the resurrection is. Why is it vital and important? Because it says, if Christ be not raised, we are yet in our sins. Christ has been raised, and as putting our faith and trust in that, we can take account of what God has satisfied with all that Jesus has done. He brought him out of the domain of death. I don't know whether we really seriously consider what a domain that is, the domain of death, the domain of Satan's power. And yet Jesus has broken it for the believer. He's been into death. He's come out again. God raised him. He's been raised for our justification. Think of that man in Luke 18. He says he went down to his house justified. That's what God wants to do to you tonight. He wants to justify you. Not just to forgive you, to justify you, to set you free from all thought and burden of your sins, and to have a place and stand in his holy presence. What a God we have to deal with, you know. What love has been expressed, and it's love which expressed and shown 2,000 years ago upon that cross can come to us today, right where we are in this room. And there's only one glorious person who can save you, and that's Jesus. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Have you put your faith and trust in him? Have you bowed the knee to him? You say, what do I have to do? You have to be like that man in Luke 18. Have mercy on me, the sinner. And that's how you become justified. And just like Thomas Bilney, you can find, if Paul can be saved, I can be saved. Take the truth of Scripture at its word. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I said, all have sinned. We're all sinners. It's a total inclusive. People love to talk about inclusivity. Well, that's inclusive, isn't it? All are sinners. And God is waiting and willing to bless you tonight. And you simply bow your knee to him. Well, may this be the portion of you. May you know what it is as we finish that scripture in Romans 15. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Have you got joy? Have you got peace? Are you searching for it? There's many people searching for happiness, and they're searching for it in the wrong places. They're finding it in all the wrong places. Satan has a world out there, and I don't doubt that it has pleasures. But the scripture tells us that the pleasures of sin, they last for a season and they soon come to an end. But God has eternal peace, but eternal blessings available for you tonight, and joy. And it can be had in that she's abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful part of the gospel. As you put your faith and trust in Jesus, God will give you of his Holy Spirit. You say, well, I don't feel I have that. Well, you can ask. He says, ask and I will give it to you. What a God. He's a giving God. Paul says again, doesn't he? Thanks be to God for his unspeakable free gift. How much God has given. We are those who have received. We've been impressed today, I think, by what we have received. But what we can give back to God as those who have been blessed through the glad tidings and coming to know this wonderful person, so that you should abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, a power within you, within your heart, within your life, to help you to live here as a Christian. It's a difficult world out there, difficult world for a Christian, but we have a power superior to it, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. May you know what it is to have this joy, to have this peace, and put your faith and trust in Jesus. And may you be able to say, as we said in our hymn at the beginning, hallelujah, what a Saviour.